Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Friday on B&E. That is right. You have made it to the end of another long work week, hot work week. Glad you're with us. Off we go, 4 hours of fun and conversation to get you into a Masters weekend. A lot to dive into this morning as we get you rolling. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm, however you're finding us, on 104.9, on 101.9 AM, 1260. And you know we're always streaming live on the Horn app, but at hornfm.com and on our Twitch stream, which has a bit of a technical snafu this morning. We'll get that solved and rectified just as soon as we can, but we'll be there for you live and in person on camera at hornfm.com on what's going to be a nice weekend, hot weekend for sure, including the Masters, the Big Texas Baseball Series. A lot to do in early April, as we are now, Buck, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. We'll dive into the draft conversation, the golf conversation, and the weekend to come, my friend.
No doubt about that. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course, those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do. All those out there, be careful this weekend, please, especially today when it will be close to 95 degrees.
Yes, sir.
Hydrate yourself. Start hydrating this morning as you get ready to have that cup of coffee, get a big old glass of water, drink that down before you get that coffee in you, and then enjoy your weekend because it's going to be a beautiful weekend. If you like the heat, you're going to get it today. You got a little bit of the taste of it yesterday, but you're really going to get it today. Now, it's still a little bit windy, though. That'll help. A little bit of breeze out there.
A little breezy, but humid. It's kind of a taste of summer here in the early part of the spring. You will get that today. As you said, it's going to dip back into the 80s next week, a little more normal and seasonal, but going to be very, very warm today and into the weekend. But that's a good opportunity to
On this hot day, you may not. You get some little bugs in between our audio today, too, because I tried to listen even coming in today. I got some Spanish.
Some
Spanish music on this morning. I was okay.
This is where we have to get our radio signal education every once in a while. You know, when on these really warm days, where
the first one really.
We get atmospheric interference. It's called ducting, and we end up starts bouncing our signal. This is probably a good day for you to, and all the signals we're doing. I was driving in, flipping around other stations. Same thing happening around the dial because of the atmosphere and the interference. So go ahead and fire up the Horn app today. Horn app might be your best bet to get a clear, uninterrupted signal as we'll get you going. We got a lot to dive into. First round of the Masters in the books. And, we told you, and we everybody anticipated it, Augusta National would play much more difficult here in the month of April than it did last November. You know, last November at Augusta National in the first round, there were 53 players in red numbers after one round. Today, after one round, just 12. Just 12 players played under par yesterday, but there's one man, Justin Rose, sitting atop the leaderboard, and I want to talk to you about that here coming up. We'll also talk about the other top stories of the day. Let's start right there with the headlines, the trending topics, get you caught up in who's where in Augusta and the rest of your morning sports. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. Yeah, a red-hot start in golf. Day one of the Masters in the books, and it's the 40-year-old Englishman, Justin Rose, atop the leaderboard. The 2015 and 2018 Masters runner-up was two over through his first seven holes. Had five pars, two bogeys, just kind of plodding along, and then he caught absolute fire. Played the final 11 holes in nine under par to seize a four-stroke lead over Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman. Four others, including 2018 Masters champion Patrick Reed at two under. Only five other players finished in red figures, led by Jordan Spieth, who finished at one under despite a triple bogey on the ninth hole. Still finished in the red. Winds were up yesterday. Firm greens at Augusta National. Best players in the world really struggled. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson all at two over. Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, both four over. 76s yesterday. They'll tee it off round two this morning. Big news from Texas basketball, where the Longhorns landed a commitment from Plano John Paul four-star small forward Jalen Tyson last night. The announcement comes after Tyson requested a release from his national letter of intent to Texas Tech. 6'6 wing serves as Chris Beard's first commitment as head coach at Texas. Busy night in the NBA, headlined by the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks bounced back from their loss to lowly Houston on Wednesday night by taking down division-leading Milwaukee last night in Big D. Luka Doncic, 27 points. Kristaps Porzingis, 26 points and 17 rebounds. Also last night, L.A. Clippers took down the red-hot Phoenix Suns, 113-103. That snapped the Suns' seven-game win streak. In Major League Baseball, Houston Astros opened their home schedule, home opener last night at Minute Maid Park. They beat Oakland 6-2. Home runs from Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve to back the young right-hander Christian Javier and the Astros bullpen. Astros off to a 6-1 start to the season. Five of those wins have been posted over the Oakland A's.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Yeah, that's the deal. The Astros have a chance to be really good this year. The A's are really bad. I don't know, because the Astros are 6-1. They've beaten the A's five times. Remember, the A's won the division last year.
Yeah, I don't believe they come on until what part of the season?
They usually catch fire late, like Justin Rose yesterday.
Yeah, they catch fire late, so don't worry about the A's. They'll be around somewhere late in the summer. Yeah, they always are.
Well, but you lose all these games early to your division rival can be challenging for sure. But Astros off to a good start. Rangers had the night off, so baseball was there. But what'd you make of the golf yesterday? I'm laughing because
of course
so many times you've picked Justin Rose. And he hasn't come through.
I see their rosy sign up here. Yeah. You know, the dude went into this thing with a bad back. He hadn't played. And it's almost like when you stay away from golf a little bit, you forget some of the bad habits that you have. And those guys don't have a lot of bad habits. But that guy was spectacular yesterday. I mean, he was sticking them close. He was making long putts. And the greens were like lightning yesterday. You could see the brown. And a couple of guys said, just don't hit it on the brown spot. Because that thing is going to go and go and go. And I don't know if I've seen Augusta move like this. Obviously, it was different than it was the first time around. It's fast. It's quick. And it's still beautiful. It really is. To sit there and watch some of the best golfers in the world try to make shots and make putts that just keep on going and going, and you're wondering when the ball is going to stop. But I think anybody within plus four is still in this thing. So, I mean, that's just day one, but plus four. But if Rosie comes out and he just goes even three under
to get
today,
to 10?
Yeah.
He'd be hard to catch.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to catch for the rest of the weekend because he's so solid. And his shots are, they're not like 16 feet away. I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, he was. And that's, you know, when the best players in the world are struggling and the course is winning like it did yesterday, it just makes a round like Justin Rose's stand out even more.
Sure. I mean,
he was so locked in. His ball striking was phenomenal. His iron play, I mean, he was different than everybody else yesterday. Everybody else was battling and scrambling.
Yeah,
and
I think if Jordan doesn't take a crazy bunch of chances and plays, just he's coming off a win, so he's trying to make some spectacular plays. If he just goes and plays the course that he knows real well, he can come in today maybe four under himself.
Yeah, and well, you know, aside from the triple, and you can't remove the triple bogey at nine. You know, if he pars that hole, he's sitting at four under and right in the mix. But the triple was a killer, and as they say, and that'll be the question for Jordan Spieth and some of these top guys. You know, you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it on Thursday in the first round, which is usually the way things go. We'll see. Now, Justin's gonna have to go out and, because today's conditions are supposed to be similar, and I don't think it's going to get any softer on those greens.
No.
So, I mean, a big number's out there for everybody, including Justin Rose, which, you know, one bad hole, and he's right back in the pack.
Right, and guys like Matsuyama, who, you know, they look good. They look good in a lot of tournaments, but then here comes Saturday, and maybe not Friday. You can hang in there, but he just doesn't have – he's not a thoroughbred. He's in it for a while, and then he kind of disappears slowly on Saturdays and Sundays. But he played well yesterday. But I still believe there's a couple guys that can get in there and really have an opportunity. But if Rosie goes out and he plays 2 days like he played one day, you can forget about it. He may boat race his whole field. That's because he's a great golfer. He's come in there second a few times.
Twice.
He understands this place.
Twice a runner-up, and obviously he's won a major at the U.S. Open back in his day, and so we'll see. But yeah, remember
your guy Patty Reed is right in there. They're
Patrick
all in there.
Patrick Reed, but there was some big numbers posted yesterday.
Ooh.
Man. That,
there's a lot of double bogeys out there that you don't see professionally. You see them make bogey, but you don't see them very often make doubles. And there were a lot of doubles on that golf course yesterday on putting alone, when the ball went past the hole.
Yeah, well, the greens are really, really fast. And again, they just played on this course 5 months ago, and this is a whole different course. I mean, the greens are harder and firmer. Winds were up yesterday, much like we've seen around here in Central Texas with the winds being up if you're a golfer. It's been a challenge, but even the best players in the world are going to struggle in those conditions. Only 12 in red numbers. Justin Rose, your leader. But as you said, I mean, as we, you know, one bad hole, one little stretch, and Justin Rose is back to the pack, and everybody's in this thing. And that's where, as you say, even if you're plus one, plus two, even to plus four,
right,
if you go out and post a good round today and get yourself into the red, you're near the red, and then you play into the weekend. But round two tees off this morning with Justin Rose atop the leaderboard, and we'll certainly keep you posted as they get it up and going. Breaking news.
Ooh.
From the across the pond category, Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, has died at 99. He's the husband of Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
Prince Philip has passed away. That has just broken this morning.
Yeah, Prince Philip, always kind of behind-the-scenes guy. I mean,
well, yeah, you watch the Royals.
Yeah, throughout...
The Crown?
I watched The Crown throughout this whole time. I mean, he was always semi-behind-the-scenes, just kind of a good guy. You know, had his day in the sun. The Queen kind of kept him at arm's length a lot of the times, but... He was still there all this time.
99.
Still there with her. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
99, Prince Philip. Didn't he just get in like a car wreck recently? Old dude driving.
Yeah.
That's
out and about.
Yeah. Typically not a good thing. But 99 years old, Prince, the Duke of Edinburgh. So did you learn in The Crown what represents a duke?
No.
Versus a prince?
No.
I don't know either.
No.
I don't know either.
No, I know Snow. He was, you know, he was part of their Royal Navy, and they just the Queen had to give him something that he felt good about. You know, because I don't think she took his name or something. There was something about not taking his name and not taking, you know, his kinship or whatever. And it was no, we can't do that. But here's what we'll do for you: we'll make you like. The head of the naval or whatever it is, the Navy.
Gave him a job.
That's exactly what she did. She gave that dude a job.
Well, Queen Elizabeth is 94, so.
Oh, she's still kicking. As long as she can have that.
She's still day drinking, too.
Day drinking, she'll be good
God
to go.
Her. Yeah. God love her, yeah. All right, so that's the news that's breaking this morning on top of the Masters and the other top stories of the day.
And that would be Charles, that's his pops, right? That is his pops.
Okay, so
Prince Charles.
That's Prince Charles's
dad,
Prince Philip, or Duke.
Correct.
Which makes that's William and Henry's, or Harry's grandfather.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm assuming, even though he's not in good standing, Prince Harry will make it to the funeral.
That's very interesting. I wonder if Meghan will go there with him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they both will. They'll go together. Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw that one out there. I know a lot of people said, "Oh no, hell no, she's not showing back up to that." I think she will show up to that one.
Okay. Well, that's breaking as we get up and going here on a Friday morning on B&E, and we'll continue the golf conversation and the other conversations of the weekend. Chris Beard already landing a commitment. I mean, this is not a surprise. Jalen Tyson is a 6'6" swingman out of Plano who had been committed to Texas Tech. We know three Texas Tech players already are into the transfer portal. This was a different situation. This is a high school kid who was coming to Texas Tech who asked for a release from his national letter of intent when Chris Beard left the Red Raiders to join the Longhorns, and now he is committed to Texas. So the first commitment for Chris Beard is Jalen Tyson, and I think there's a lot of anticipation that some of those three members of the Texas Tech team into the transfer portal could be coming to Texas. And it's fair to say, Buck, in 2021 into 2022, the Texas basketball roster is going to look completely different. I mean,
They're going to come from all over.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I think who can we say can sit like pretty solidly will be back? I mean, I think Brock Cunningham,
yes,
for Texas basketball will be back. I mean, I think there's a good good look that Courtney Ramey,
yes,
will return. We had Brian Davis from the Statesman on earlier this week, and he mentioned that he's hearing maybe Andrew Jones comes back again for another year. That would be a really veteran guard to have on this team for the Longhorns. But beyond that, you know, the rest of the roster will look completely different. as you know.
There'll be rosters all over this country, so different.
I know. With 1,300 names in the transfer portal?
Yes.
And the ability to play immediately.
You can change the face of your team real quick here.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, God, you know, Baylor just won the national championship on Monday night. They had five transfers.
That's right.
I mean, five of their top seven scorers were transfer players into their program for Scott Drew. You can absolutely change your program pretty quickly, and I think we'll see that.
I think that's why Chris Beard understands, man, I can change this place in a hurry. I'm a good coach. If I get the right kind of guy, my kind of guys here, there shouldn't be any difference. I can get this thing going in a hurry. I don't have to wait 2 or 3 years and let myself settle into what my culture is going to be. I can get the right kind of guys now, and they can be juniors and seniors already. They don't necessarily have to be freshman players.
Yeah, we talked about that before Chris Beard, you know, made the move. Is whoever takes his job, they have a chance to build the roster with guys that
with age. Yeah.
Well, I talked about that with the NFL with Urban Meyer taking the Jacksonville job, right? That, you know, it's one thing to inherit a roster like if you were to get the Houston Texans job right now with salary cap issues, and it's hard to flip that roster over. Now they have the Texans have flipped over a lot of guys.
Yep.
But you know, Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville with a chance to draft the quarterback of the future at one, and they've got 4 picks in the first 50, and they've got money to spend, so you can build the franchise in your vision. Same with Chris Beard on the college basketball side. You can really shape this roster, and you know, you bring some key guys. You're like, I still think Courtney Ramey can be a good player, you know, with proper development. Brock Cunningham's going to be a glue guy, you know that. And I think the big question, the most interesting question is Greg Brown, the freshman from Vandergrift.
I believe he's coming back.
I saw him
because there's no reason not to say that you're not coming back.
It's been
by
very
now.
Quiet, right? It's been very quiet from the Greg Brown camp. You know, most anticipate that he's going to declare and be a one and done player, but there's no doubt that he hurt his value this year. I saw a mock draft yesterday that had Kai Jones, the Longhorn big man, going 7th overall in the draft.
Come on,
which means I will win our bet
14 or more.
And Greg Brown was the 29th pick in the first round, which still gives you a first round, but. We're right at the back end of the first round in the NBA draft. Isaiah Collier, our producer, any word or any thought on Greg Brown and his future? What's your sense on your crystal ball on Mr. Brown? I hope your mic's not on. There you go.
Well, the deadline to declare for the draft is, I want to say, May 31st, so he has plenty of time make his decision.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously he's going to talk to Chris Beard, and, you know, they do have their coaching staff figured out, but I think once everything's put into place to where he could, you know, lay everything out and explore all his options, I think he can make a decision then. But I'm with Buck. I could see him coming back at this point.
I got to believe he and Coach Beard have already met. I bet you're going to have a couple discussions, you know. And for Chris Beard, believe me, that's not hurting to have that guy back, a talented player like that, that he can mold and help him in his future and help the university at the same time. Because as we all said, I mean, all you've heard is this guy is a player that people get along with. He really sounds like he's a good teammate, and he's a talented player. He's just a little immature, and I think Chris Beard, the way he can handle that dude, unlike Shaka Smart, I think he'll bring some maturity to him. Because I think Greg Brown will know, this guy can help me make some money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. If you're flirting in a mock draft with the back end of the, I mean, you could end up in the second round, which means you end up into the G League anyhow for most likely.
Well, one thing they're going to see in him is immaturity. Those guys in the NBA know you got to travel, you got to be with grown dudes. There, it's not like 95 of you or 85 going on a football trip where you can hide in the back. You're going to be up front. You're going to be right there for them to see it. And there's not a lot of immature. There's some immature guys that don't seem to make it, but those guys seem to grow up in the NBA pretty quick.
Yeah, well, and that would be the number one thing I would say. If I mean, especially boys mature differently. They later, right? I mean, if he's not ready to handle the maturity side of it, much less the basketball physically,
right?
Then if you're his parents and you're, you know, former Longhorn football player Greg Brown Sr., don't you just say, hey, come back. You know, we're doing fine. You play, learn under Chris Beard, and try to you know, grow up a little bit, rebuild some of your credibility, and increase your value.
I think one of the problems is that if he didn't play school, if he spent the whole first semester I'm out the door. But say his dad, would his dad say, oh no, you're not going to play, like, you're not going to go to school. You're going to school. You're going to get your work done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he understands where he's at. You know, he understands. He still bleeds orange. Like, people, you know, I know what happened against Texas right. Tech was very toxic, but he still bleeds orange. He still loves the university, and obviously the family ties will always be there. It's just a matter of, you know, Greg Brown figuring out what the next step should be, what's best for him. And
well, he doesn't want to spend time. If he didn't, like I'm saying, kids will, if a talented guy like that will say, man, I'm not going to go. I'm not doing anything in the classroom until – you know, I'm about to leave this place. I'll come back and do school later on. You can get behind if your mentality is, I'm leaving first, school is second. And all of a sudden the coach says, dude, you're not going to be eligible. You can come back if you spend your time in summer school. And then the kid will say, bye, y'all.
Yeah, look at that.
You know what I mean? Bye.
It'll be interesting to see. But, it, you know, when
I got to believe his dad, he will say, your ass is going to school.
Well, let's remember, when he came into Texas last year, he was seen as a surefire lottery pick. As a one-and-done player, right? He was going to be in that Cade Cunningham conversation. Cade Cunningham's projected to go number one overall out of Oklahoma State after the year he had for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Houston Rocket fans are hoping the Rockets can tank far enough to get that pick and get a hold of the 6'8 point guard. And Greg Brown was in that conversation. They were AAU teammates. And Greg Brown, if you fall from the top 10 to the back end of the first round, maybe second round, that's just – there's logic. You know, practically, you've cost yourself a lot. Can you work your way back into that by coming back and playing for Chris Beard for a year and playing for this coaching staff?
I think so.
And becoming a leader of this basketball team in year two? That's going to be the question. As this text says, are you guys familiar with the NBA? Bunch of immature dude. There's no doubt. There's a lot of guys that enter that league that aren't ready for it. But I think if you're his father, Greg Brown, who for folks who don't know, played football at Texas under Mack Brown back in the day, and his mother also went to UT. There has to be a conversation about, okay, what does this look like 10 years from now? Like, what's the best thing for you, not in the next, you know, 6 months, but in the next 10 years, is coming back the best way to grow up,
right.
Get some more classes under your belt, to mature, play for a great coach like Chris Beard, and make one more run? Because like we just saw in March Madness, you can, I mean, think about Jalen Suggs and Jared Butler and those guys. You talk about enhancing your value by showing out and playing great in the month of March and putting up big numbers and doing things that can increase your value better than anything. And showing up on an NBA roster as a second round pick or a late first round pick and trying to work your way with a group of grown men, what's the best way and the best avenue to achieve where you want to be, big picture?
Yeah, I mean, and when I say mature, there's not a lot of NBA guys that you see are going to jail, young guys that are good. They're immature because the fact that they are playing with mostly guys, a lot of veterans that are in there, been in the league for a while, they understand. But I don't see a bunch of young NBA players. Zay, I don't know about you, but I don't see a bunch of those guys being a lot of trouble. They've got problems. Yeah, they're immature guys that may spend some money because they got a lot of money. But I don't see guys going to jail, and I don't hear about a lot of those guys having all these major problems. I hear about NFL football players getting out there and having some problems. And of course they will, because the numbers are bigger, you know, on a football team like that, number of players. But I don't know, I just don't see that many in the NBA. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, the NBA season is a lot longer. So football season's only 4 months. The guys got a lot more time to waste, which obviously bad things could happen when, you know, you have that on your hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the difference also.
All right, so busy Friday. Off we go. We'll dive back into the Masters conversation. We'll get you ready for the weekend. Longhorn baseball with a big series. We did talk to David Pierce yesterday. We'll talk about the ceiling for this Texas baseball team and where it's headed. Also more on Chris Beard and his first coaching staff. Also a Craig Way report, your B&E fact of the day. And from the Masters yesterday, did Roy McIlroy really hit his own dad in the ass with an errant shot?
No.
Yes.
Like I got Sandy Lyle?
Yes, just like you did to Sandy Lyle.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to talk about
awesome.
This.
Awesome.
We'll get to all of it. It's B&E on the Horn.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you. 3 weeks from today, on this program, we will be discussing the first round of the NFL draft, which will be in the books. Read a headline concerning Cowboys owner Jerry Jones yesterday, Buck, that will either excite Cowboys fans or concern them greatly. I'll read it for you here coming up. But the Cowboys own the 10th pick in the first round. 3 weeks from yesterday.
Let's not make a mistake, Cowboys, with that one.
Well, I'll read you the headline and you can decide. We'll also have a Craig Way report. We've got your B&E fact of the day. And the other top stories on a Friday morning, 9 April, going to be very, very warm today. What'd you say, 95, 96 degrees today?
Yeah, it's going to be a hot one. Yeah, by the way, Prince Philip,
who just passed away today,
as a matter of fact.
That's correct.
He wanted to give his children his name. I think it was McBadden or something like that. And he couldn't because they were, you know, the Queen's kids of the, I think I'm going to say this, the House of Windsor.
Nice.
Maybe that was a part of it. And he really wanted that. And I'm telling you, Queen Elizabeth loved this dude. He was a handsome man, and she was wanting to do anything for him. And then it just came down that the queen is the queen. Sorry, dude, you are who you are. You know
what
I'm saying?
Stay in your lane.
You got to stay in your lane. I know you want to have the kids have your family's name, and it was just
not the monarchy, my friend.
Sorry, not up here, Meghan Markle.
Well, if you listen every day, you know
that's not what they're going to do.
I know very little about many things, but I know very, very little about the monarch. I don't really understand.
The Crown is really good, too.
I know.
It's really good. I never went as deep into it. After the one group went in and they had new characters in it, I just got away from it. They did such a good job.
Well, I mean, the one thing that fascinates me about the monarchy is the queen. Queen Elizabeth, she's been the queen since Winston Churchill. Like, that's how long she has served, correct?
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about World War II and the Nazis, and here she is in 2021 still.
Yeah, she had a couple crazy sisters, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
She had some...
Do you have any crazy sisters?
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I do. I have four, so I'm going to go 2 out of 4 are a little bit crazy.
2 of the 4?
Yeah, 50%.
I have
one
sister, and she's not crazy.
No, you're lovely. Lucky. Very fortunate.
Yeah, 3 boys and a girl in the Hogan house, and I have 1 daughter, and she's phenomenal. So
there you go. That's the way that goes.
Hey, so... can we hear from Jordan Spieth after yesterday's opening round, 1-under 71, as only he was one of 12 players to finish in red numbers and finish under par, but he also had a triple bogey 9 that really hurt him, and as you said, he took a lot of chances yesterday. Here's Jordan Spieth after his round. He is 6 back of your clubhouse leader, Justin Rose.
Somewhat typical for me at the Masters, I guess. Some good golf and then some fireworks on both ends. I mean, I made really 2 bad swings off the tee on 9 and 13. Got away with one of them and didn't with the other. And other than that, I struck the ball really, really well. And I didn't putt particularly well. But all in all, I would have signed up for 1-under to start the round if I had 17 pars and a birdie. But I thought... the bounce back after 9 was kind of the story of the day there for me to go 3-under on the back 9 and obviously got very lucky on 15. So in position, I mean, 6 back after 1 round, I'm glad the course is firm if you're 6 back after 1 round. So I'm not really going to be focused, I don't think, on Rosie. That's a heck of a round. And just assume that this golf course is going to be just as challenging going forward and pick your spots.
Jim, what did you say?
All right.
So yeah, Jordan, it was as challenging as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the powers that be at Augusta National, they were not real excited to watch the players take apart their golf course last November. There was nothing they could do about it. I mean,
it's the weather.
You know, it was the weather. It was the soft conditions. It was all the rain. But you know, they're a prideful group. They like to see their course win against the best players in the world.
Well, they were winning, dude. They were absolutely winning yesterday. It was amazing, some of the balls. I mean, the par fives when the ball would hit below the flag and end up off the back of the green down the hill. I was like, man, well, what can you do?
Oh, man. One of the other highlights was Rory McIlroy on the 7th hole hit a wayward shot. He's trying to, you know, cut it around a tree, or actually draw it around a tree.
Yeah, he had it all hooded up.
And hooded the club, and he hit his so he hits a guy in the gallery, like right under his butt cheek, like in the back of his leg. And then all of a sudden, they learn that that's his dad. It's his dad, Jerry.
So come on, Jerry, get out of the way.
Come on, Dad. So Rory hit his dad in the dang near in the rear end. Now, you were playing in a pro-am. Is this right when you were a coach at Texas in New Orleans?
I was. Jim Bob Moffitt would fly us down to the Freeport McMoRan, which used to be that tournament was the one used to be before the week before the Masters.
Yeah, in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yeah. And it was just what a gorgeous place. That's when one of the coaches was taking the practice balls and filling them up in his bag, and that tee number one, he had to pull that out, and it was a Titleist practice ball. That was so embarrassing.
At a pro-am.
Yeah, at the pro-am. So then I, oh, yeah, they want to know what ball you're hitting, for sure. And so Sandy Lyle, who was there yesterday at the Masters, wearing, he had on, like, a jean suit with suspenders. He actually had suspenders on. And then, so he was playing in the group with me, playing right beside us, and he was off to the right. He and his wife, and by the way, his wife was like four or five months pregnant, and you could see she was pregnant, and she was about 6'2". And he was a little dude, and he was off to the right. And, dude, I'll hood the club, and I'll hit a right to left shot, but I very seldom shank one. But you're in a pro-am, and you're nervous as hell, and I shanked one, and it took two hops. He was out in front, probably 100 yards away. On the second bounce, it hit him right in the arse, like right in the cheek. One bounce, bang. And that dude never got out in front. I bet you from that time on, he was in a program. He was never to the right or to the left of amateurs playing. Because he came back there, and he was talking to me about golf for the remainder of the round. I got his attention. I really did. Hitting him right. I was so embarrassed, man. So scared. Thought he was going to go nuts on me.
That's... I still can't believe he took a practice ball. That's not good. That's embarrassing. But Sandy Lyle, Rory McIlroy, his dad. Let's hear from Justin Rose. He had the round of the day by a mile, four strokes better than anybody else. And how about his last nine? He was two over through seven, Jordan, Justin Rose, and then played the last nine holes in nine under. Pretty tremendous stuff. Here's Justin Rose, the 40-year-old Englishman.
No, I didn't think I was never really in an offensive mindset out there today. And even when things were rolling for me, I was still playing very conservative golf out there. I kind of knew the type of challenge that today was. And it was more of a day of trying not to lose it than feel like, you know, that kind of score was on out there, to be honest with you. But things just started going my way. I mean, my putter was hot today. I was reading the greens unbelievably well, and I hit the right shots at the right time. There are a couple of pin placements that were gettable. I was able to take advantage of those ones. But other than that, it was just sort of, that hot blade, I suppose, was what got me going.
Hot blade.
He's right. I mean, it didn't look like he was trying to play aggressive, just like he was just hitting regular shots and hoping they would stay within, you know, 15 feet of the hole. But you could see in his face when he hit him, he was like, whoa.
Yeah,
I'm pretty hot today.
Yeah, he's the
I'm
man.
I'm hot today.
He's the man they're all chasing here as we open up round two. First groups will go off in about 23 minutes, top of the hour.
He'll be tough. He's a veteran. If he runs out there and gets three or four under par today,
look out.
That's a problem for everybody.
Yeah, even two under. He's the nine under into the weekend.
The doggone Rosie, and I didn't pick him. I pick him every time.
And you did not. You took Kuchar, who went plus six.
Oh, and Kuchar was in his group and had to watch that crap all day.
Yeah, he's 13 back.
You should have seen Kuchar's face. I'm like, Kuch, can you get into it? Kuchar's got a little belly going on. I'm not trying to fat shame.
Yeah, you are.
Not really.
He's fat.
He needs to take a week off. Guy never slows down. Needs a week off.
So he's eating bad food, right? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, traveling. Hey, so here is the breaking news, Jerry Jones headline of the morning. Talked yesterday. Cowboys have the 10th pick in the draft, and we'll talk all the way to draft day 3 weeks from yesterday. It was the first round. Cowboys with the 10th pick. I saw a mock draft that we talked about yesterday, Buck, that the first nine players in this mock draft were all offensive players, which meant the Cowboys would have the pick of the number one defensive player on their board, which wouldn't that be – I mean, their defense was historically terrible last year.
Correct.
To be able to draft any of the best defensive players in this draft – would be I don't believe that the first nine players are going to be offensive players, but it could be. Could be four quarterbacks, could be offensive line, wide receivers.
Well, we know about the first six will be.
Yeah. Well, ESPN's Chris Mortensen reported yesterday that Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, the general manager, of course, as well, is infatuated with Florida tight end Kyle Pitts.
Dude, I will boo the Cowboys all year. I will be their most dreaded enemy if they do that. I will. I'll hope they lose. I know they're on this station, but I'll say, yeah, they lost again. Sorry,
I
Dak.
I heard bells.
Yeah, here we go again.
Apparently he's hearing bells about Kyle Pitts. Now, look, let's be fair to Jerry Jones here. A lot of people are watching Kyle Pitts and saying, wow, this is a generational-type player.
Maybe he's faking everybody out.
There are some in the scouting community that think he's kind of a cross between Randy Moss and Megatron, and then one of these elite tight ends. He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds, he ran a 4.4, he's got this incredible wingspan. He's going to be a red zone marvel in the NFL, and he's a freak athletically, and most look at him and say, you know what, he could put on 10 more pounds and play at 255 and play tight end slash H-back slash whatever you need him to be, and he's a matchup nightmare. But can we all agree that the Cowboys do not need another offensive player right now?
They didn't need one last year. And
CeeDee Lamb
anyway.
Fell in their lap, and
yeah. He
was the best player on their board. Now, I don't think Kyle Pitts will last to 10. I think most people don't think, but you never know. Drafts are weird things, but the last thing you need is the Cowboys thinking about trading up because you're our general manager.
All these guys going, go, Jerry, take Pitts, go, Jerry.
Well, you know, last year the Cowboys home radio station, The Fan up in Dallas, were selling and giving away 40 burger T-shirts, like meaning it's going to take a 40-point game to win,
which yeah.
became true. I mean, they were prophetic because they couldn't stop anybody last year.
Okay.
They're going to start selling 50 burger shirts.
Oh, if they take another offensive player, for sure.
Yeah. Wouldn't they? Yes, you can score a lot of points, but at some point, you have to stop somebody. You got to play some defense. And Kyle Pitts is going to be a heck of a player wherever he goes. And there are receivers.
Here's what one of their problems is. They don't know if their coach is any good. Kyle Pitts can come there, and they may not know how to use him. With that coach?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy.
Can you find out, Jerry, how your coach is in year two, besides worrying about who you're going to... You know, you need a defensive. You need a cornerback so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
Well, and that would be my question. If indeed that mock draft is accurate, and the Cowboys at 10 get to pick the first defensive player off the board, like any of them.
I love Cowboy fans. Hey, defense will be fine. Give us another offensive player. That's how they are.
Defense will be well. What's going
to? So it says defense will be fine. What are they fine at?
Well, give us the reason why the defense will be fine. What's going to? They were the worst defense in the history of the organization last year, as far as points allowed and yards given up. How does that improve? What's going?
Just bring those same guys back.
Just bringing in Dan Quinn
no.
from Atlanta, whose defense was not any good there anyway. No, he was good in Seattle with the Legion of Boom.
Wow.
But I don't know. It's a players' league. You got to play. They got to cover somebody. Jordan Lewis, Chidi Awuzie.
God, they only have one football.
I don't know.
Those guys need to touch the ball. The rest of them need to touch it.
The Mort Report saying Kyle Pitts is the apple of Jerry Jones' eye. We will see. We will see. All right, so we'll have a BNE fact of the day before the top of this hour. Guess what? It's going to be NFL owner related. How about that? We'll do a little NFL fact of the day. We'll continue to talk some Masters and the top stories of a Friday morning with you. Having fun on a Friday. Getting you into a blazing hot weekend. It's BNE on the Horn. First, it's Craigway, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch at hornfm.com, on your smart speaker. We're here for you. It's BNE on a Friday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Sure is, BNE with you on a Friday, getting you into a red hot weekend, Masters weekend, one of the great rites of the calendar year is to sit back on a Sunday, Buck, and watch Sunday at Augusta.
Yeah, man, for sure. My wife's not at home.
Oh, you're a batch?
Yeah, man.
You're batching
only
it?
Till Monday.
Is you
yes.
and the dogs?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, me and the kids.
You and the
me
dogs.
Me and the dogs, yes. We had a 3 o'clock wake up this morning, got things done. A little bit more efficient today, second time around.
Practice makes perfect.
Oh, no, not practice does not
so
make perfect.
Typically, does
perfect
your,
practice
does
makes
your,
perfect.
Does your wife? That's true. Perfect practice makes perfect. Just practicing doesn't make anything.
No, just practice.
Could be wasting your time.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
If you go out to the driving range and bang balls for an hour for swinging improperly, that's not doing you much good.
No, it
you
isn't.
Continue to swing improperly.
Absolutely.
Perfect practice makes. That's what you use to teach your football players. But so.
Yeah, I heard that from the head coach. He used to always tell us. He said, yeah, what are you doing? I'm, well, I'm practicing hard. I'm like, he said, well, you know, I said to him, practice makes perfect. He goes, nope. Perfect practice makes perfect.
It's true. It's true.
Perfect practice makes permanent.
Ooh.
And I used to get all those little sayings from Johnny Makovic, and they stuck with me, and he's true. It is true. Anybody can go practice,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it might be a waste of time.
Might be a waste of time.
If you're not doing it properly.
That's right.
Technique matters. And you know who was the best at that, maybe all time, Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh,
oh.
The genius.
Just, you know, as a young coach.
Attention to detail.
As a young coach, Ed, I didn't get the job, but I went to interview when I was 30 or whatever it is for the San Francisco 49ers with George Seifert. I've never been more horrified in a room at a hotel in my life.
Why?
Because this guy was, you're talking about a perfectionist. So every answer I gave him, there was a counter answer to it. And I needed to show him why that happened on the board. And, you know, it was X's and O's, which was good because I coached with John Magvick, so it helped me. an awful lot to be around a smart guy like that. So I could get on the grease board and do all the things. But for some odd reason, that dude had a counter. It was like playing checkers, you know, with the guy. And it just, I was just very young at that time and very nervous at that time.
That was Bill Walsh, right? I mean, I'll never forget. I mean, the NFL Films video of him on the field, right? It's live. They're at practice, and it's a young Mike Holmgren, right? He's on the field. They're in San Francisco. Joe Montana throws a pass down the right side to Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice has got to reach back and catch it, but he catches it like right at his hip and for a completion. And Mike Holmgren goes, "Great throw, Joe. Great throw." And Bill Walsh stops them both and, "Not a great throw." And he puts his hands out in front of him and says, 12 inches in front of the numbers.
And he didn't get away from that. That's what he meant.
And showed him, that's a perfect throw. That's a great throw, Joe. And the perfectionist, the genius, Bill Walsh, maybe the most intelligent coach there's ever been in the NFL and sports in general. So, yes, perfect practice makes perfect. But the point of that is your wife's out of town, so you're taking care of the dogs. Does she normally get up at 3 in the morning to take the dogs out, or
no,
is that your deal?
They don't do their thing until round 7 or so. So they don't.
But you're leaving at 3:30, so you got to get up and get that done.
Yeah, I got to make sure the little guy has to go out, has to be fed, has to go out before he's fed. The big dog has to have his food. The little guy can't get into the big dog's food. The big dog will drink a whole bucket of water before that, so then I have to throw out the remainder, bring some new water into him, then go through the gate and make sure the big dog, who is checking me out as I go through the gate, doesn't slide behind me out the gate. And yeah, there's a lot going on.
Okay.
So it's all right, you know.
Get to lay up and watch the Masters on Sunday.
Hey, both those dogs, those dudes, I have to understand, on Saturday and Sunday, 3 o'clock, it's not happening for food. It's not happening at 7 o'clock in the morning. They just have to, you know, I told my wife yesterday, the little dog, who is like Zay's new puppy, obviously stays in the cage in the bedroom, I hope, but, you know, we've been bringing the little dog. It used to be in the bed, and now I got to the point where, you know, this dog lays on my leg, and so she puts him back in the cage. He feels good in the cage at night. Well, with me, that little dude is out front sleeping on the couch. And I told her yesterday, I said, she goes, "So how was he in the cage with you?" I'm like, "What cage?" "That dude slept on the couch." And she goes, "Well, you know you can't do that to the dog." I'm like, "Dog slept like a dog on the couch."
Or a baby.
Like slept like a baby. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Well, it's a great weekend. It's Masters weekend.
Can't wait, bro.
Also, a big Texas baseball series, which we'll preview, just heard in the Craig Way Report. Kansas State, don't underestimate them. They're 2-4 in the Big 12, but they just took 2 out of 3 from Texas Tech.
They're about to hit a buzzsaw here, though.
And the Longhorns are ready for them. Also, you know, we learned a lot this week about OnlyFans.com, right? The OnlyFans website with, what's her name? Catch Me Outside. How about that?
How much
are
you making now,
There's someone else cashing in on OnlyFans. We got to get in on this, but I don't know that we have what they want. I'm pretty certain we don't have what they want. Also, the Cowboy fans are weighing in on our Kyle Pitts discussion involving Jerry Jones. And speaking of that, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
According to Forbes, Buck, there was a new richest owner in the NFL, wealthiest NFL owner. It's changed. Can you guess who of the 32 owners, the mega billionaires of the NFL, who is now the wealthiest in 2021? Answer coming shortly here on B&A. Live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app, and now watching us live on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com.